All right. Which, for the record, I will say, if anybody has questions, don't forget that we have a lovely little fella here. He's very hungry. So I would be shocked if you guys have... It's out for me.
There goes the cubit.
The cubit. I would be shocked if you guys had... I just now thought of Bob. I'm going to walk like an old man if I hold on this. Okay. We're going to leave that there. I'm shocked you guys have read this much of the Bible yet and don't have, like, a question. So feel free to just, like, put one in there or just text me or something or tell me afterwards if you've got something. So this week, yes, okay, so we got just a little bit left and we'll be finishing up Exodus soon. Hopefully, maybe you're a little bit behind, that's all right. One of these weeks we're going to have like a Jubilee week and let everybody catch up, but for now, we will just keep on chugging. So I want to cover the book of Leviticus. So you can flip to Leviticus if you want. I don't know how much of Leviticus we're actually going to read, but we'll flip to Leviticus. Table, Keaton?
No, I'm all right. Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome. All right. People on the computer, I'm assuming you can hear all right. Text me if you can't, or text Kenzie. The Book of Leviticus. That's what we're going to go over today. I'm going to give you the outline and some of the breakdown of that, and then hopefully you can get something out of it. Now, here's kind of a dumb one. I feel like I should have known this sooner. Anybody know why the book is called Leviticus? I never put that together until I got to this book of the Bible. What's the root word of that? Or like, what's one of the chunks? Yeah, there you go. See, I don't know why I never thought about that. What's important about Levi? What'd you say? You said it.
I didn't say it.
Oh.
I have it.
Who's Levi? What's important about Levi? Someone. Anybody? No?
Priestess.
Thank you. Yeah, right? All the priests are of the tribe of Levi, right? So, if the book about Leviticus, right, it's talking about them and a lot of stuff that they do. So, I don't know why. I didn't ever figure that out. So, this is the book where we'll get into where you'll see a lot of the sacrifices that you remember we've talked about in Israel a lot. We'll see a lot of the sacrifices. We'll see a lot of, like, things to do with the priesthood and, like, what people actually do in the tabernacle. Now, someone remind me from last week, why do you and I care about the tabernacle?
Picture of our life.
Yeah, it's a picture of part of our life, right? Pictures some of the things that are in our life. Yeah, exactly, right? Why also? Because in Hebrews, what does it say we are? You got it. Jesus is.
Yeah,
exactly. So in Hebrews, we're called priests, right? So this stuff is all picturing in some way or another things that are in our life, right? And so that's why this stuff in Leviticus, even though it took place thousands of years ago, all the way back yar, right? It still matters to us today. We looked at it, and God literally said it was a pattern. So, I'm going to give you the world's tiniest breakdown of the book, and then we're going to give you a better breakdown here in just a second. So, kind of the short version, I'm just going to put it right here. Chapters 1 through 10 is the... The way to God through the way to God through sacrifice. All right, and chapters 11 through 27 is going to be the walk with God. Through separation. And you guys don't need to write this all down necessarily as I go. You can always take a picture afterwards. I mean, if you want to, you're more welcome to. But so the way to God through sacrifice, and the walk with God through separation. And so we will break down each of these chapter by chapter in just a second. But the big picture is something I want you to see first before we get going. So the big picture is this. These first 10 chapters have all to deal with the priesthood and people and their sacrifices that they needed to make for the Lord, things that the priests had to do, things that the people had to do regarding sacrifices. And then this part with the walk with God through separation, that's all the laws that we talk about. You've heard Levitical law before. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but you know, people will quote it and quote it wrong all the time. But this is where it's like, you know, this is the start of like, don't love a cow, don't, you know, that kind of stuff, right? These random weird laws that are all important. And so the big picture for you as a Christian, as we're going through the book, is these first 10 chapters, when you're reading those, you're thinking about the way to God through sacrifice. You're thinking about, right, what's our sacrifice? So back in the day with with Israel, they had to sacrifice physical animals, right? Who was our sacrifice? Jesus. There we go, right? So this way to God through sacrifice, all of these sacrifices, in one way or another, are a type of Jesus Christ or a type of something he did for us. So that's super cool when you're reading those. And we are actually going to spend probably all next week talking about the sacrifices. So we'll go in depth on those at some point. But that's what this is all about, right? This is about the priesthood. This is about things. This is kind of the stuff that you get as a part of salvation for the most part. And then 11 through 12 is all about living separate from the world, right? And so this is in your life, right? You've got the fact that you're saved, and then you've got the fact that the rest of your life you have to keep trying to get better, right? And so the words you're looking for here for those, there's two very key words. I'm going to erase my stuff, right? Standing and state. All right. Standing and state. Now, these are two big words. Bob's talked about them a lot. Anybody heard, any of the youngins heard standing and state before? As I was going to say, I think you might know, but I know we haven't talked about it in here, right? So for every Christian, there's your standing and state. Now, standing, what's it mean to be in, like, good standing? Say if you're, like, in good standing or something like that. What's it mean? Your standing is, like, where you're at, right? Like, member of my church in good standing, right? That's kind of like a permanent thing. You're in that physical body. What's state, though? If I'm giving, you know, the president always gives a famous speech, the state of the what? State of the Union, right? What does it mean when he's giving the State of the Union? Do you guys know? Off the top of your head. What's the word state mean if you were to take a stab at it? People on the computer, you can take a stab too. Kind of temporary. You're getting close there, right? Yeah. Drake said condition, right? So when the president's giving the State of the Union, what's he doing? Union. Yeah, you're telling everybody where, like, the Union's at, right? Where the United States is at. It's kind of giving people a status update. If you go online to the message I did before camp, right, where it basically talked about where the youth group's at and where the youth group's going, Caleb labeled that State of the Youth Group, right? Is where we're at. It's what we're doing. So standing is kind of like this permanent thing. State is this kind of temporary thing. And so we're going to look at those here in relation to your life. So you're standing as a Christian. Everybody know what your standing is as a Christian? You flip with me to Ephesians 2. All right, Ephesians 2, we're going to start in verse 4. Not that short. We're going to start in verse 4, okay? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Okay, remember, someone go back to when we studied that. What's quickened?
To be made alive.
To be made alive, right? Okay, so God has made us alive, right? Together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay? In God's eyes right now, when he looks down and sees you, he doesn't see the fact that Jared did something stupid at work today. He doesn't see the fact that, you know, Xavier ate that 15th burrito. He doesn't see that fact that, you know, he doesn't see the dumb stuff we do in the day-to-day. What does he see when he looks down on us, or when he looks at us? He sees, number one, Jesus Christ. And number two, he sees us seated in heavenly places. We're as good as in heaven in God's eyes right now. That's what it says right there, right? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, so you as a Christian right now, he looks down and he sees you perfect. Now that sounds weird. Flip with me to 1 John 3. It's way towards the back side of your Bible here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, when we get there. All right, 1 John 3, verse 9. Let me know when you get there, Keith.
There.
You got there? Okay, 1 John 3, verse 9 says this. This is kind of a weird verse. Read it with me. Whoever is born of God doth not commit sin. I'm going to stop right there. Okay, we all, right? When we got saved, we were born again, right? Okay, so I'm born of God, but it says, doth not commit sin. Do we still commit sin after we're saved? Yeah, so I guess am I not saved then? What is it? What is it? No, you're shaking your head. What? You don't know why? Okay, no. No, you're good, right? Here's the thing that goes back to that standing, right? Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. It doesn't mean that I don't commit sin in my body, right? It means what does God always see? What does God see when I'm sinning? He sees Jesus Christ. What does God see when I'm doing the right thing? He sees Jesus Christ. What does he see when I'm doing the stupid thing? Sees Jesus Christ, right? In God's eyes, I do not commit sin anymore now that I'm a Christian. Now, you can don't use that as an excuse to go sin, right? As the Bible says specifically not to do that, right? But we all know that we still do sin, and that's our state. So this is talking about our standing here in 1 John. And so this is kind of what the first 10 chapters are about. The first 10 chapters in the book of Leviticus are all about your standing, the stuff that you've already got through Jesus Christ. These first 10 chapters were all about the sacrifices that you have to have peace with God. But Hebrews says there's kind of an issue there, right? For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, right? If sacrificing an animal could take away sins forever, then why did God send his son to die? Right? It doesn't make a lot of sense. God says that Christ sacrificing once, right, with one sacrifice for sins ever, he sat down on the right hand of God. So Christ could just do it once. And so those are all the things that we get. But once again, 1 through 10, all picturing the things that you get as a Christian. Your standing. And then 11 through 27, your state. You know, it's kind of, I like to think about it as a state. You know, I'm my father's son, right? Like, and there's nothing I can do to change that at all. You know, I can be I go home, and I mean, it doesn't really work now because, like, I'm old. But, like, as a kid, I could go home and, like, kick my dad in the shin really hard and tell him he's ugly. Am I still his son? Yeah, right? I could change my last name to Jared McDaddy Baby officially. And am I still my dad's son? Right? So this is the difference between standing and state. You see what I'm talking about? Standing is what I am. It's that status. And there's nothing that can change that, no matter what my state is. And so in the exact same way as Christian walk, you can't do anything to change your standing, but your state you can change. And so as you're reading 11 through 27, you want to look at what does he talk about? What are the things that people should do to be close to him? To clean up the sin out of their life. So now we're going to go over this outline, and this outline is kind of a doozy. Feel free to take as much or as little of it as you want. And I'm saying this not because I want to like sound fancy or unfancy, but so I've got Clarence Larkin, which if you've never looked at this book, let's see, this is pretty. I got the cover on backwards. So if you want to learn more about all this stuff. Where is that? I should have marked the page. He's got a huge amount of stuff in here. Come on. Right? On the book of Leviticus, okay? Lots of stuff. These are all the offerings. These are all the feasts. He's got like five more pages on the feasts back here. So if you're interested, that's what the tabernacle looks like. It's kind of what I stole, right? Shocker, I didn't figure this out all myself, right? So there's lots of interesting stuff in here. He's got a big outline. And then obviously Bob's books online, he's got his sermons, which have an outline. And believe it or not, mine's just a hair different than both of theirs. And so I say that not because I want you to realize something, and it's that outlines of a book are like not inspired, right? The point of outlining the books in your Bible is so that you can find the information you think you'll need when you think you need it. That is the whole point of outlining a book. It's not some doctrinal issue. It's not some dogmatic thing. The whole point is I want to be able to find out and flip back to the book of Leviticus and hit what I want to hit. I want to, you know what, I'm feeling out of fellowship right now. I'm going to read some chapters here on how the priests got back in fellowship because maybe it'll apply to me, right? You might want to do that. And so I'm saying that to say this. When I write up this, you know, outline up here, it's going to be long and complicated. You can take as much or as little of it as you want. The goal is for you to go through while you're reading the book and double-check the outline. Is that what you're going to put there? Would you need to, is there something else that matters to you in one of those chapters that you'd rather have in that outline than what I wrote down? Cool. Go for it. This is your tool. And so that's what I'm going to put. So having said that, let's come up over here. We'll stick purple. So yeah, we've got 1 through 10, and that's the way to God through sacrifice. And now we're going to look at the first three chapters after that, so we're kind of breaking it down here. So 1 through 3, all right, so 1 through 3 are the sweet savor offerings. And I'm gonna break those down here, right? So we've got 1, 2, 3. I'm not gonna write this all the way out, but okay. Now, these three offerings are kind of neat in the sense that they are optional, okay? These were not required for anybody in the nation of Israel to give. These three offerings were basically something if someone had a heart, and we'll talk about them more next week when we break down the individual sacrifices, but if someone had a heart and wanted to just basically bless the Lord, right, they would do one or all of these three offerings, and at the end of those offerings, it says that it was a sweet savor to the Lord. Basically, the action of that sacrifice, them giving up something they cared about, was something that God then, basically, it's like the equivalent. I mean, just imagine, you know, like, what's your favorite thing this time of year, you know? This time of year, what's the mom cook that's like, smells good? You know, like you walk in the door from school, what are you like, oh, yeah, come on.
Chicken and rice casserole.
Oh, there you go, yeah. No.
Chili.
Chili. Especially if you got chili and cinnamon rolls. Xavier, what was yours?
I need fish.
And Xavier's like, just literally food. I just like, you know, anything. Get a smell of cocoa, is that good? You walk in.
I don't think I want that.
Sweet savory, you know? For Kenzie, it's horse poop, you know? No, you're like, we always would go to like horse barns and you'd be like, ah, smell of horses. You know, or like, or was it Zach always had to smell babies? You know, it's the baby smell. Yeah, exactly. You know, so that kind of stuff. So it's that sweet savor, right? It's a thing that doing these offerings was like a blessing to the Lord. It was something that was a blessing to him, just like, you know, your mama's cinnamon rolls or something when you walk in. So, and I wrote that really fast. So that's like the wave and heave offerings as well. Yeah, and so we'll get into those more next week, so that's why I kind of didn't cover it, but I didn't want to leave it out. The next one, right, 4 to 5, are the sin offerings. I didn't write those better too. Okay, and so 4 is the sin offering. Right, so we've got the sin offering, and we've got the trespass offering. Now, like I said, we're going to spend a whole week on these, so I'm not going to talk about them too much. But these offerings were done when, say, you did something wrong. How would you get back to God? You'd get back to God through doing one of these offerings. These were used, like, basically after you've done something wrong. So these aren't a sweet savor, right? These sweet savors are something given, you did it right, without having to basically like be punished for it, right? These sin offerings, these just bring you back in fellowship, right? And so, I mean, the way I kind of think about that in my Christian life, there's a lot of times you spend just having to get back in fellowship with the Lord. But a lot of the blessings and where you really bless the Lord is when you're not getting out of fellowship and you're giving stuff that you don't have to give, right? There's a difference. I mean, we've all been here before where basically all I'm doing is just barely staying in fellowship. You know, every day all I'm doing is reading 1 John 1:9 and trying to stay on the boat, you know. But the goal would be that we'd be up here where we'd be offering the Lord things that are a sweet savor to him. Okay. Also, bonus points. Did anybody catch the numerology there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The number of death. Yay.
Jared being
What'd you say?
What?
Huh?
I said nothing.
I said nothing, she said. Okay. Right? 6 and 7. Six and seven are the laws of the offering. So kind of some of the rules about administering them. What I did for those, you could technically, if you wanted to, write down all the different spots that they're at, you know, because they're kind of scattered throughout 6 and 7, but what I did, just in my book, right, is I would just go, this is the law of the burnt offering, this is the law of the meat offering, you know, and just highlighted where they were at so that if you were wanting to, you'd know, oh, I want to look at the law on the meat offering, so you go to the law chapter, and then you just look for the highlighted section that says meat offering, something like that. Now, lastly, in this section right here, 8 through 10, we got a bunch of things around the priesthood, all right? And so, chapter 8. We've got the consecration of the priest. What does that probably mean then? Right? This would be when a priest would be getting, like, right, committed to the Lord, turned over to the Lord at that point. Think like Samuel, right? He was consecrated at one point. 9, we see the sacrifice accepted. So the first sacrifice is made by Aaron, and then fire comes down and lights the brazen altar. So that sacrifice is accepted. And then chapter 10, the priests get punished for strange fire. Now, does anybody know what the word strange means in the Bible? We've talked about it a few times. What does the word strange mean in the Bible? Like, I'm strange, but, like, not strange. You know what I mean? What's strange means in the Bible? It doesn't just mean, like, weird or goofy.
Something else.
Something else. Something else not of God. There you go. Yeah, it's something not of God. And so, here's this thing, right? And this is kind of, I left the tabernacle specifically up for this point right here. God, we just looked at it in verse 9, right? When this sacrifice was accepted, he came down and lit this fire right here. God lit this sacrificial fire. And so the priests, when they were supposed to light the lamp in here, and when they were lighting the altar of incense, they were supposed to take the fire from the brazen altar and go light those things, okay? So it's like the fire from the Lord. Man didn't make this fire. The fire from the Lord kept these burning all the time, all right? And so what happens in chapter 10 is a couple priests take strange fire. So just, it's not even necessarily that it was like, you know, weird and green fire or something, right? It just means fire that wasn't from here, and they light these on fire with it. What happens? I'll take a guess. Yeah. Ka-chow, right? That's exactly right, Xavier. Yeah, the fire they were supposed to use comes down and lights them up, right? And so what that's a picture of is in our own life, right? Christ was the sacrifice here for us. And so everything in our relationship with God has to always go back to him and that what he did for us. And that's the point of this kind of picture, right? Is that if you're going to have the light of the Holy Spirit, that light of the Holy Spirit can only come from Christ. If you try to light that with something else, man's wisdom or man's philosophy or a college degree or a theology degree, but not from what Christ gave you, then you'll end up spiritually dead. Okay? And so that's kind of the picture there. And so that's when you're reading verse 10, that's kind of, think about this, is kind of what I would suggest. So everybody tracking so far? Okay, sweet heavens, I don't know if I'm going to be able to write this all fast enough. So, maybe I will share this with you, huh? You want to write stuff? You could write stuff. This could go... Time to go, Tabernacle Dude. I'm sorry.
All right, there we go.
Okay, so now we are going to cover 11 through 27, all right? So we're going to start right here, 11 through 27. The walk with God through separation. And so just think about here while you're in these laws as well. These shouldn't be ignored, okay? Even though these laws don't apply to us, technically, most of them, right? You can't just take a verse out of Leviticus and apply it to you. They still give you insight onto what God thinks about things, okay? So, I mean, this and Deuteronomy, if you read these, if you wanted to know what God considers murder, it's in there. If you wanted to know what God considers, what he thinks about gay, straight, trans stuff, it's in there. If you want to know what God thinks about abortion, believe it or not, right? You can see what he thinks about abortion in all of these chapters. So, even though these laws aren't for you, they give you a picture of, right, the God that wrote them. It's the same God, okay? And so we can deal with that, and you know, we'll talk about that more as we go along. But basically, if you find those in the New Testament, and you tie them up with what Paul says, a lot of these things actually can be brought and applied to us as well. So let's see here. 11 is laws regarding food. So basically what they could or couldn't eat, different kinds of meat, things like that. There's a lot more of that later. Verse 12, you got motherhood. And circumcision. which I won't get into the picture there right now. 13 through 14, you have the leprosy laws. And we will probably spend some time talking about leprosy, but if we get there and haven't read that, leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin, okay? It's like it's a disease that comes from uncleanliness and eats you up, basically. And so, I mean, it's gnarly. You're you can Google it. It's pretty gnarly. And so, just like how sin, right, when you stay unclean for a long time, right, eventually you kind of get sick. And eventually it kind of eats you up. And so, if you're reading the laws about leprosy, you can learn a lot about sin as well. 15 is about uncleanliness. Or uncleanness. Now 16 is pretty cool. This is the day, big day, of atonement. What's atonement mean? That's a big word. You'll see it a lot in this book. What does atonement mean? Anybody on the computer? What does atonement mean? Made at one, right? Atonement. No, you're good. You're good. Right? You're being made at one, right? Atonement. So, what does that look like, right? When we were saved, right, we were made one with Christ. So the atonement is being made back in one with someone, right? I'll say my wife and I are one, right? It means we're on the same page. We're thinking the same thing, right? The atonement is getting right with God in that same way. So that you're on the same page with him, have peace with him, and all that stuff involved. The fun thing about that passage too, right? Oh, that's also the day of atonement and the scapegoat. You realize, what's a scapegoat? If you call something a scapegoat in life, what is that referring to? Someone, you gotta know this one. Throw away, kind of. Right? If you say that, is that your scapegoat? What does that mean? Maybe they don't. Huh? Yeah, it's kind of like your excuse. It's like the theme you're blaming, right? Like, I was late to work because my tire was flat, so my tire is my scapegoat, right? I blame my tire instead of taking the blame for not waking up before noon, right? So, there's this thing called the scapegoat. When you read about it, it's a picture of Christ because you realize Christ is our scapegoat. Right, we get away and he gets the blame. That's where this phrase comes from. If you ever hear someone say, like, you know, oh, is that your scapegoat? That's my scapegoat. That all comes back to the Bible here. Now, 17 through 20 are the sins of other nations. Now, basically what Israel was doing when they were in here and they were being around all these other nations, all these other nations had sins that they would take part in, things that they would do. They'd sacrifice their kids. They'd do nasty stuff all the time. Yeah, I'll read about it. We'll give you a chapter, right? They would do all sorts of crazy stuff. And what God was warning Israel about was, hey, don't be like them. Okay? Now, is that something we can relate to, right? Us being in a nasty, sinful place and God saying, don't be like them?
I thought you meant sacrificing our kids all the way.
Yeah. The other nations do. I mean, it's... You don't even want to know what they actually do. It's pretty gnarly. But, so 17. I'm going to go fast here. Not doing too bad. We're almost done. All right, you get 17. You get nations that eat blood. That seems kind of weird. Maybe we'll get a chance to deal with that a little bit more when we get there. Okay, chapter 18 is sexual immorality. So, doing nasty relationship stuff that the Lord doesn't want them to do. Chapter 19 is about God's holiness. It's kind of drawing a contrast and kind of shows that his standard of purity. And chapter 20 is witchcraft. And more sexual immorality. All right, we're getting close. Thanks for hanging with me, guys. We are about done. Just about done. Alrighty, 21 is the physical qualifications for being a priest. It's kind of funny to think about now because, right, we're living in a spiritual world, but back in the day, priests, right, who were going to picture things to come, because they were going to picture things, the priests actually had to be pretty without blemish, right? Us uggos wouldn't have worked as priests. You had to be kind of, you know, you needed that nice sharp jawline like that mannequin downstairs, you know? You need to be studly. So there were actual physical qualifications for being a priest. You couldn't be messed up physically. Is personal holiness of the priest. So another one that would probably be something that you could search through and find something about yourself, right? Something to look for in there. 23 is the feasts, which we will spend another week on the feasts. Israel had a bunch of feasts that they were told to hold, and guess what? Just like everything else in the book of Leviticus, they all picture Christ in one way or another. 24 would be, this is a lot of writing, but instructions for the oil. For the lamps. So this is talking about the lamps, the oil specifically for the lamp in the tabernacle that we were talking about. It's important stuff. All pictures, things. I don't know if you guys saw Sarah's Discord thing, but that was cool. I don't know why I didn't have that in my Bible, but that was awesome. So that was fun. The candlestick getting called his, right? Just like the person of the Holy Spirit. 25 is the year of Jubilee. We're almost done, you guys. Two more. 26 is the conditional blessings of God. Right? What's conditional mean?
You have conditions.
It's conditions, right? Meaning there are blessings that you can get, but you can also not get them if you don't meet the conditions, right? Versus like an everlasting covenant, there's a conditional covenant, right? And 27, last but not least, things devoted to God. So that chapter is talking all about, you know, when someone devotes something to God, like I'm going to devote this to God, I'm going to devote that to God, that kind of devoted to God. So that is a monster outline. You don't necessarily have to have it all written down, but once again, the idea is like, figure out what stuff would be valuable to you, right? If you're thinking about this, like, I added a couple things in here because it's like, yeah, sometimes I want to go read about the scapegoat because that's reading about what Christ did for me and that's kind of fun to read about. Or maybe I want to read about a specific kind of offering. Hey, I want to look at these, right? Study these things that I can do to just be a blessing to the Lord. So, I take your time putting your outline together and ask questions if you need help putting it in your Bible. One of these days, we'll take a week and just, like, put notes in our Bibles, catch up, help you guys do that. So, any questions?